Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 17th day of April, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Meet Mike from Florida. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cymru am byth, which, by the way, is Welsh for Wales forever. We will take callers at some point. However, I would ask that you hold off for a little while so when our guest comes in that we can get into the meat of the matter first. If you do call in, please remind or remember to watch your language as we have a mixed audience. Also, try not to walk on other people who may be on the call. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is automatically muted until such time as I unmute you. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Word of encouragement out of Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for Yahweh your Elohim God is with you wherever you go. I would also remind you of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love Yahweh God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And finally, in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God Yahweh, your Elohim, will do nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. We are in Malachi chapter 4 territory, folks, and we'll get into that here in a little bit. I think my guest is here, so let's try the software out and see if it's working. Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you speak just a little louder, or maybe it's at my end? I'm not sure.
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. Well, very good. I'll tell you what, you're a first-time guest on the show, so if you would, take just a few minutes to introduce yourself to the audience, kind of let them know who you are, and not too much private information, but just general information about, you know, how you got to where you are and things like that.
Well, I'm just a son of God on an insane world. That's about the size of it. And I've grown up in this period of time, as we all have, during the last days, in which you grow up with deceit, deception, distortion, lies, and you've got to find your way out of it. And I just give so much, I'm just so thankful that by the grace of God, I've been delivered from the pit. As I think in one of the verses of Enoch, where he says, they will endure the affliction of distress and the ordeal of the pit.
Yeah.
And they will be purified by these things. So I'm one that's been plucked out of the pit, and I'm eternally grateful for it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Some of the people listening in have said that your volume's a little bit on the low side. Sometimes people don't hold the microphone or their telephone up very close to their mouth, and that's sometimes that's what the problem is. You have a hardwired connection, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so it's not, sometimes it's a cell phone problem, but you're on a hardwired connection, which, by the way, eventually we all want to get back to that. We'll get rid of these wireless devices, get back to wired devices and fiber optics and things like that, which are much, much safer. We can handle a little bit of the Wi-Fi type signals that are very, very low, but not this. Just the other day, I went ahead and fired up my computer just for the hell of it, and there were 10 signals strong enough, if I had their passwords, 10 signals in my home that I could have jumped on to use Wi-Fi with. That's how strong the waves were coming into the house. So, you know, you add smart meters and all the other wireless devices. You've got your neighbor's wireless devices. Then you've got your cell towers and all this other garbage. And there's never been, well, there has been safety studies done, but not by the industry. These have been watchdog groups and things like that who have put out information that all this electromagnetic frequency type energy waves bouncing around our homes and our lives is causing problems, a lot of problems. I think you can testify to that, can't you, Mike?
Well, I certainly can. I'm suffering from microwave sickness. It took me 2 years to figure out what was happening to me. I'm a tennis coach and a tennis player, for one thing, and all of a sudden, I mean, I was in wonderful shape. I was on the court every day, in the gym most days, and all of a sudden, I'm having trouble sleeping. Muscles and joints are aching. I started getting injured easily, which I normally don't. Skin rashes, headaches, migraines. I mean, it was just one symptom after another over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it took 2 years, but I finally, and what happened was I'd been working with my laptop on my lap using Wi-Fi, and I got a skin infection on one of my thighs, which I'd never had anything like that before. And a couple of days later, I got another one on the other thigh, almost in the same spot. And that is what enabled me to put the final pieces together and think that it had to do with the computer and using wireless, and I began to investigate it, and the whole world opened up. I mean, you go on YouTube, and the information on microwave sickness and microwave radiation and the damage it does to the body is astonishing. And I read a lot of the scientific reports, not paid for by the industry. And there it was. I mean, it was plain as day. And I reduced my exposure. I got rid of the cordless house phones and put in corded phones. I got rid of the Wi-Fi and started using Ethernet connections, corded connections. It turned out that they had put a smart meter on the house when these symptoms started to come about. So that was the thing that threw me over the edge. All the research that I read said that the symptoms begin to come out after about 10 years. And that is right around the time I'd been using a cell phone for 10 years. I'd had cordless house phones for that time. So it was right on time, and it was the smart meter that threw me over the edge. The amount of radiation that comes out of those meters is astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I did the first thing I did was buy a meter so I could actually see what was going on. Without a meter, you really don't know what the strength of signals are or what the situation is that you're in. So I figured out a way to block the radiation coming from the smart meter using aluminum screening and also putting other aluminum foil. And I mean, it was insane, but it was what I had to do. And I managed to block the signal coming from there. And within one month, all of the symptoms vanished.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the fact that I'm now sensitive to it. So I can't be around it for very long or I start to get sick. I start to feel nauseous. I get heart palpitations. I start to get a headache. So as long as I stay away from it, I'm fine. I don't have any other symptoms.
It's a little bit like when you give up smoking, then you become very, very sensitive.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Yeah, because my dad was that way, and several of my other relatives, when they quit smoking, they became the worst anti-smokers because they could not tolerate even the smell of it, let alone actual smoke.
So they become
extremely sensitive to it. So it sounds like you're a little bit the same way. And it's kind of funny you mention heart palpitations, which I get from time to time. And sometimes there's no real rhyme or reason to why I'm getting them. And I've also noticed a significant ringing in the ears lately. And again, I don't have a meter. I haven't bought one yet because of a lack of funds. But like I said, I can go on my Wi-Fi on the computer where it checks the available signals that you can join, and there's at least 10 sources just around my house, and that doesn't even count the smart meters. That doesn't count the cell phone towers of the different providers like Comcast and T-Mobile and Sprint and Verizon, all the rest of them. So, because every tower, they're all on each of these towers, so they all have their own prioritized signals and frequencies that they operate on. So, I mean, it's just all around us. It's just amazing to me. So we have a lot of things to clean up in this world, don't we?
Oh, we certainly do. I'm praying and waiting for that rock hewn out of the mountain, not by human hands, to come down and crush this insane system, this satanic system that we're stuck in.
Yeah, well, you know, that's interesting because we've had discussions about this over the years. The church world, everybody's looking for Messiah to appear from the clouds and all that. In the meantime, though, he gave us authority to fix this damn problem ourselves. He can come and do it for us, that's true. But he's put leaders here. He's got his prophets here. We have the ability to fix these things. Why we're sitting around thinking that we can't do anything until he shows up, that kind of boggles my mind. In a way, that's like tempting the Father, and we know the Scriptures makes it very clear that we're not supposed to do that. So, you know, to me, that's a coward's way out. We can fix these problems. I know personally men of integrity who could take leadership positions. I know men who have been prophesizing Father to the people for a long time now, and the fact that we've gone off the tracks. We need to get back to being a righteous people. We need to take these villains, especially with you see what's going on in the country right now. This is a full-blown Bolshevik communist insurgency unfolding in front of us as we're talking. Would you agree?
Yes, indeed, I would agree. I don't know if you... Have ever seen the interview done with Yuri Brezhnev, I think his name is?
Long time ago.
Yeah, he was a KGB agent who defected to America. He did an interview, I think, in 1985 or so. And he just simply described what he'd done in many countries before with them, the three-step process of demoralization, first, which takes a number of generations, and then destabilization, which we're in right now, and then the final piece of the puzzle was stabilization, where they would come in and that's when the tanks roll in. as he put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what people are waiting for. I mean, as far as I know, I just sent off a list to one of my new contacts. He wanted to know a little about myself, so I told him in the past 20 years I gave him a short list of some of the well-known people that I've interviewed, and these were colonels, majors, generals, special forces, police officers, patriots that have warned. One for sure was Air Force General Benton Partin, P-A-R-T-I-N, and I met him in person, and he gave lectures on this topic. He was an expert witness on Oklahoma City and the fact that it was not Timothy McVeigh and fertilizer that brought the building down. He proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was an inside job with charges placed in the building. So, you know, and he warned us in person that day that as bad as Oklahoma City was and the fact that they're covering it up, that a more serious problem was the fact that communism did not die. It just changed names and changed tactics. And his concern was for the United States and the fact that the communists were working here. Well, we know who the Bolshevik Zionist communists are, and yes, they are working here night and day, and now they're making their move for a complete takeover.
Yes, it certainly appears that that's exactly what's happening. And so what do you do to stop such a thing?
Well, right now, I guess we're performing the job of a Paul Revere. We're sounding the alarm. There is some signs of an awakening going on. I don't know if you saw that footage of the protest in Lansing, Michigan. They virtually shut down Lansing, Michigan with a gigantic traffic jam. Many thousands of patriots in the streets and in their cars. And they are getting a petition to recall the governor, who is a transgendered Israeli. So, I mean, you talk about a hideous creature. That individual in Michigan is a aberration of nature on several levels. And we've got the same problem, like with that Northam character in Virginia, where I have family. That guy is an abomination. He's not one of us by DNA or by culture. He's a monster. Same thing with the governor of New York. Monsters. You know, these people, they're not of our faith. They're not of our culture. They're not of our race. And well, they're destroying this country.
It's it's only the corrupt and corruptible that get to these higher positions for the most part. I remember a story of FBI agents. They were all new agents, and they were all staying in a hotel, and there was a knock on the door to each of their individual rooms that night, and there was a beautiful woman standing there saying that I'm here for you. And he said, well, I don't understand. What do you mean? She said, I'm paid for, and I'm here for you. And he declined, while the other agents did not decline. And they moved ahead, and he went nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So well, that's the Jeffrey Epstein. What's that?
Yeah, it's the corruptibility that they get tested on, and that's how they get moved up the ladder.
Yes. Well, the evidence is coming out, and the warning is going out, so I guess what we're waiting for is whether the men-at-arms are going to ever show up. The militia, whatever term you want to use for men with weapons, because it takes force to defend against force. I mean, these people are using cops, military, sheriff's department. So they're using men with weapons and armored vehicles to enforce their communist takeover. That is also something that I'm very concerned about. There's been a lot of people that have made videos warning people in uniform to be very careful. I've done that for years now, saying that you guys are going to have a tough decision at some point. Well, we've reached that point. It is evident now that men and women in uniform are carrying out the edicts of these communist insurgents. And they need to be very careful, because that identifies them with the enemy. Instead of being protectors of our constitutional republic, they instead are basically the Cheka, or the secret service of the Soviets, when the Bolsheviks were murdering the white Christian Russians by the tens of millions, coming in late at night, dragging them out of their homes and taking them into cellars and shooting them. Okay, so everybody thinks it was the Germans doing this, when in fact it was the Zionist Bolsheviks in Russia that were actually murdering millions of white Christian men, women, and children. So we're not far from that. Okay, right now they're bullying people. I just got an article here that in Pinellas County, Florida, a man was arrested for not shutting his business down by order of the governor. Well, first of all, the governor doesn't have authority to do that. Okay? Our health care is our business. The government has no authority whatsoever. Even if this was a legitimate disease, they don't have the authority. And they can say, well, it's our job to defend you. No, it's not. Your job is whatever we tell you your job is. You're a public servant. And we did not acquiesce to you or give you consent to be our nanny to take over dictatorial control simply because there's a health issue, even though we all know that this is a fake and phony pandemic. But even if it was legitimate, it does not authorize a police state. And these men and women in uniform need to be extremely careful, because they're stepping on thin ice, because we have Supreme Court decisions that have said that when a police officer or even a military person steps out of line and they're beyond their constitutionally mandated authority, they're on their own. That badge and that uniform does not grant them any protections. It's also becoming very known across the country about United States Code number 18, sections 241 and 242, which spell out the fines and prison terms for public servants who conspire to deny the constitutionally guaranteed God-given rights of us. In fact, they can be executed according to this if death occurs. Okay, it's considered murder. So right there in the United States Code and in Supreme Court decisions based on the Constitution, that badge and that uniform does not mean that we have to do what you say. I know that's what they tell them, but the facts are we do not have to obey them when they are out of line. And that's where a lot of them, they're doing this stuff on their own. They have no authority. They need to learn, okay? I know a lot of cops are ignorant, like so many soldiers are ignorant. They're ignorant of the Constitution. They're ignorant of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. They're ignorant of a lot of things. They just think that, well, it's my commander or the chief or a judge or a governor or some bureaucrat told me to do it, and I want to get paid, so I'll just go ahead and do it. Well, there's consequences for stepping on people's toes outside your proper authority.
Yes, that's right. And
so,
how do you go about solving the problem of money? The fact that the money is controlled. The power behind the control of governments is the control of money, the creation and the creation of money, the supply of money, that this is how control of governments is done. And that I mean, this goes back centuries. You
right.
take the Thomas Jefferson wrote that if the American people ever allow private banks to issue the currency, the money, then first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children wake up homeless on the continents. They're on the continent their father conquered, their fathers conquered. And I don't think there's a clearer statement of what we've seen happening, what we're witness to. The control of the issuance of the currency went back and forth four times before the Civil War and seven times total before they got the criminal by criminal means, they got the Federal Reserve Act passed in 1913,
right.
And they've had control of it for over 100 years now.
Right. There's a lady by the name of Helen Brown. I believe she's in Minnesota, but she wrote a book on public banking, which would
yes.
be one avenue that could be looked into. Let's say we're both in Florida, so let's look at Florida as a microcosm here. Each state of our union is a sovereign state, so the first thing we need to do is dissolve the federal government. Just dissolve it. And that includes, of course, the Fed, the IRS, and all that. I mean, we don't need them, okay? They're a detriment to us as free people. They don't add any value whatsoever. Federal government and all of its agencies need to be dissolved. So at the state levels, obviously the power returns to the state government, and each state could have their own currency. I know for a fact, this was a year or so ago, there were 17 state governments looking into how they could issue their own currency. So there are people who kind of seen what's coming down the pike. One of the things we could do is go send, and I've done this. When I lived in Michigan, I sent a letter to the people at Ithaca, New York, because they were one of the very first communities in America to issue their own local currency. They did that decades ago. Decades ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've been operating their local economy on Ithaca hours, that's what they call their currency, for decades.
Mm-hmm.
It works beautifully. So when the economy
yeah.
goes through like what we're having here right now, I'll guarantee you that Ithaca, New York is humming along beautifully. So are the Amish communities. They're humming along beautifully because they're not reliant on the beast. Okay? And I also know that there are approximately 50 or 60 other communities in America that we could search for that are doing the exact same thing. So if this isn't rocket science. We can
right.
do it at the local level. We could do it at the county level. We could do it at the state level. It's up to the people what they want to do. So it's not yeah. really that hard. We, the people, are the greatest resource of the nation. Our natural resources are also our wealth. So our own ability to work together and create things and help each other and our natural resources, that's where our wealth is, not in fictitious digits in a computer run by a bunch of Jews at the Federal Reserve, okay? That's not where our wealth is. That's where their wealth is, because they've convinced people that they should go fight wars and die, they should beat people up and jail them, or that they should work their ass off and send 35-40% of their labor to them in the form of taxes, so that we can be part of their Babylonian system. Well, we don't need that. Okay, again, let's say here in Florida we decided to separate. We're going to secede from the union. Now, oh, by the way, did you notice that the virus all of a sudden showed up when the militia movement was taking off, the Second Amendment movement was taking off, and at the same time the secessionist movement was taking off? And now all of a sudden you don't hear about any of that. Okay, you think it's just a coincidence? Okay, the country was ready to rebel. You had West Virginia and Virginia. We're getting ready to have counties leave Virginia to go with West Virginia over the Second Amendment issue. You had Idaho, Washington, and Oregon counties working together to leave Washington and Oregon to join Idaho. You had areas of California talking about seceding to get away from the liberal Democratic-controlled areas, which are a bane to all of us. Okay, so these things were all happening when all of a sudden, we have a virus. Oh, my God. Oh, you can't get together in groups more than 10. And then it went down to 4. And then it was, no, stay in your house because they know our rebellion is forming. Okay? They're not stupid. Well, actually, they are stupid, but they're criminal geniuses, okay? They're not righteous geniuses. They're criminal geniuses, and they're paranoid as hell. They know that if the blinders ever come off the people and they see them for what they really are, like in the movie They Live, if we ever put the sunglasses on and look at the reptiles running this world, their ass is grass, okay? They know that, okay? They know
The senior George Bush was famous for having said that if the people ever knew what we were doing, they would chase us down in the street and hang us from the nearest light pole.
Amen. And that includes raping us financially, treason against us as a country, and the pedophilia to our children. That's just three items. There's many, many more. But those three right there would be causes to hunt them down and hang them from lampposts. Hillary was quoted as saying something very similar. Okay?
Yeah.
So the point of it is, they do. They do need to be hunted down and hung from street lamps. I personally would love to do that. Okay? I'll be honest. I would love to track these people down and hang them for their crimes. Okay? We'll have a trial. We're not going to do it like a bunch of criminals would do it. We're going to do it the Christian way, and we're going to drag them in front of a tribunal, which is made up of righteous men who are incorruptible. They're going to be radamanthine men. That's what that word means, strictly and uncompromisingly just. So we'll have the men of our best characters, like the Bible called them, the judges back in the days of the Israelites, the judges would sit outside the city gates, and typically there'd be three. Three judges would hear the cases before them and make righteous judgments. That's all we need, okay? Drag their sorry asses in front of, like you, me, and maybe another guy like Michael or Henry here. I see he's in here, or Lane, or any of the other folks, or Ralph, okay? Drag them in front of us. We will hear the evidence on both sides, and if it's shown and proven, according to the Bible, that they've committed either treason, murder, kidnapping, rape, pedophilia, we just take them over to the nearest tree and hang them. Would you not agree that would clean up things in a pretty fast period of time?
Well, I know that that Jesus cleared the money changers from the temple, which demonstrates that his he was not against using force against a minority that was doing harm to the population.
Amen. You see, the modern-day church is run by prostitutes called preachers, okay? But they're actually whores. They take money, and for that money, they lie, and they seduce the sheep into accepting their slavery. That's why the Bible says that in that day, their own parents will help to hunt down the preachers, because the preachers are just as corrupt and just as responsible for what's going on as these Zionist Bolsheviks, because the preacher's job is to be a watchman for the sheep. Instead, they've sold the sheep out. Now, one of the things that you'll never hear a preacher talk about in a church today, when in the beginning of this country, these kind of things were talked about. But let me just read a verse to you here and see if you've ever heard this before, Mike. This is out of the New Testament, where most of these morons stick to, instead of reading the whole book, since the whole book applies to us. They stay to the New Testament. Well, here you go, guys. Here's one right out of the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 19. Here's verse 27. Now, this is a parable, and the parable is referring to Messiah. And here's what Messiah has to say. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Does that sound like a pacifist to you?
No, it doesn't.
Did you ever hear that as a sermon in a church?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever heard it talked about in a Bible study group?
No, I haven't.
Isn't it kind of strange that right here in the middle of the book of Luke, you've never heard of that verse?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It goes right along with, let's go ahead and read it real quick here. It's a short one, but this is one of my favorites to wake people to hell up. I'm so sick of people being such lazy, pacifistic, little soft snowflakes, afraid of their own shadow, when Yahweh told us to be as bold as lions. And the evil that we're dealing with is only because the righteous men haven't got off their ass. This is Psalm 149. Now listen to the words of Psalm 149. It's a short one. Whoops, it's got the wrong version. That's another thing that ticks me off. This thing used to always stay whatever version I chose every time I'd open it. Now they want me to go to the NIV, which is a terrible, terrible translation. Okay, here, the World English Bible. Okay, Psalm 149, praise Yahweh, sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Now, the saints are the called out ones, folks. In the Greek language, that's what it means. People who are called out by the Father. Let Jacob Israel rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion, meaning we the Israelites, be joyful in their king. Let them praise him, praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Not the proud, not these government bombastic pontificating assholes that we have today. The humble. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. May the high praises of Elohim God be in their mouths, and a two-edged sword in their hands. Okay, this is not a spiritual sword here. This is legit. This is the real deal. And why are the saints praising him while they're carrying a two-edged sword? Verse 7, to execute vengeance on the nations. Okay, that's the other races. That's the ethnos, the pagans, the Satan worshipers, etc. And punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. That means iron shackles. To execute on them the written judgment. All his saints have this honor, praise Yah. Now, I'll bet you haven't heard too many Sunday sermons on that one either, have you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. So right there is all the authority I need to be a righteously indignant individual who's ready for war. Because these bastards mean to do harm to my family, my friends, the people I care about, you, your family, and destroy this great nation. That's their intent. They want to amalgamate us into a new world order, with the capital of the world being in Jerusalem, which is why Trump named Jerusalem the capital of that little litter box in Palestine. Okay, it's all part of the plan. That's why the United Nations flag is the same white and baby powder blue as the Israeli flag. Same group of people run both. It's all about world control, all about Jewish domination, and right out of the Talmud, you and I are nothing but slaves. Every non-Jew is a slave to the Jews. That's right out of their Talmud and right out of the teachings of their chief rabbis. I bet you didn't hear anybody talk about that at church either, did they?
No. One of the best descriptions that I've heard was by Carol Quigley in Tragedy and Hope. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's astonishing piece of work. Back in the 60s, he had access to all of their documents. He was a professor at Georgetown. And he wrote this paragraph. He said, "The powers of financial capitalism had a far-reaching aim, nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. This system was to be controlled in a feudalist fashion by the central banks of the world, acting in concert by secret agreements arrived at in frequent meetings and conferences. The apex of the systems was to be the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, a private bank owned and controlled by the world's central banks, which were themselves private corporations. Each central bank sought to dominate its government by its ability to control treasury loans, to manipulate foreign exchanges, to influence the level of economic activity in the country, and to influence cooperative politicians by subsequent economic rewards in the business world."
Wow.
I don't know of a better description of this plan.
Yep, that sounds a lot like the first Rothschild that started the central banking that his family's controlled ever since the 1700s, when he said, "I care not who creates the laws of a country as long as I control the issuance of credit and currency."
Exactly. That's the underlying control that they hold and have been able to keep from people understanding. You know, there's a verse in Isaiah in where he says that, I think it's in chapter 42, he says, "The Lord desires his servant's vindication, that he may magnify and glorify his teaching. Yet it is a people plundered and despoiled. All of them are trapped in holes, imprisoned in dungeons."
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, we have a population plundered and despoiled, trapped in holes, imprisoned in dungeons.
Yep. There's another verse that the prophets wrote about, that the day would come when Jacob Israel, which is the Israelites of old or the white race, it says that you would be sold once again back into slavery into Egypt without a price. In the original language, that is basically saying you'll sell yourself back into bondage even though I've set you free without a price, meaning for nothing. And think about it. What is the modern-day form of banking? It's digits in a computer. There is no value.
That's exactly right. It's created out of nothing.
It's created out of thin air. They don't even have to buy paper and green ink anymore. They just create digits on a computer.
So you go into a bank and you take out a $200,000 mortgage, and they enter that into a computer. That's it. And out of nothing, out of nowhere, you owe them 200,000 real dollars plus interest. It's the most incredible fraud and criminal crime against humanity imaginable, to be able to create this kind of economic and political slavery.
I'm trying. Okay. F. Tupper Saucy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, but a French name. F. Tupper Saucy wrote a book that was one of the very first books I read back in the 1980s that helped wake me up. It was given to me by a dear friend of mine. But it was called The Miracle on Main Street. And F. Tupper Saucy had a phenomenal ability to put into his writings common sense and easy-to-follow logic. But The Miracle on Main Street is basically outlining exactly what we're talking about here. There's common sense approaches to all this, and he tears apart how we got trapped into all this. And another good little booklet. Now, this is just a small booklet that Sheldon Emery wrote many years ago called Billions for the Bankers, Debts for the People. And it's again, it's a small booklet, but it's very, very eye-opening on how this whole fake fraud Babylonian money system works. And if people, it's still in print. You can get copies of it. So, you know, both of these things, Miracle on Main Street and Billions for the Bankers, are available online. And again, if people would just take time, but I think, Mike, part of the problem is our people have been so busy, first of all, working because they constantly increase our taxes. When I was a boy, Dad went to work, Mom stayed home and raised the children, and everything worked out okay. Now, Mom and Dad are both working, which means they've turned the children over to the state, which is, by the way, one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, that the state takes over the education and control of the children. Okay? So now we've got Mom and Dad locked out of the whole process, working their asses off, and they can't even make ends meet. So, you know, it's a form of slavery. It's a way to keep us distracted and never having enough time to educate ourselves and to organize. So maybe they did us a benefit with this slowdown, because now it's getting people's attention. You know, 20 years ago when this radio show started, we talked about the fact that our people, just like the Israelites of the Bible, because that's us, we are a stiff-necked, hard-headed people. We don't like to be bothered. We don't want to get involved. We will put up with more stuff as long as putting up with it is possible, because we just don't want to be involved. And we don't want to learn. We just want to take care of our business, be entertained, have fun. But now it's getting serious. People are running out of jobs, running out of money. I've even heard today there's reports of them actually taking people's property. People are being thrown in jail. So now, all of a sudden, they're interested. It's a little late, because it takes time to read books. I've been reading books since I was in the fifth grade in school. So that's a lot of decades that I've been reading. So I've got thousands of books that I've read. And so here comes Johnny Come Lately, and they want answers. Well, now they're going to have to trust guys like you and me that we're honest enough to tell them what we learned, because they're not going to have time to come up to speed. This is one reason I believe that, Michael, you are part of the elect, and most of the listeners to this program are part of the elect, because we received the calling long ago to start educating ourselves about what's going on. So that when the Israelites finally do wake up, then we have the ability to give them answers. Like, the first thing they're going to do, and I've had friends call me, and that's exactly what they said. How the hell did this happen? Well, you've got to be able to give them an encapsulation of the process that took us from liberty and a righteous people to being basically hedonistic idol worshippers enslaved to this Jewish banking system. And you got to be able to tell them that in a short period of time, because most people today have a very, very short attention span. Very short. So you've got to be able to get their attention and educate them with just sound bites, little nuggets of truth. Because asking them to read a book or to take a law course or I took a course with what's his name? Skousen. I can't think of his first name now. Cleon Skousen. That's it. Cleon Skousen. He was a FBI agent, but he put together a course to teach the Constitution. It was one of the best courses I ever took. And it came with workbooks and cassette tapes. That was back in the 1980s. W. Cleon Skousen, that was it. In fact, I think he might even still be around, either that or his son. But you can look up Cleon Skousen's material, and he was another patriot like Ted Gunderson. I think Ted Gunderson was a patriot FBI agent. Who tried to warn us about what was going on, much like William Cooper tried to warn us and many others. These are serious times, Michael.
They are indeed, and this didn't come about by happenstance. These are conditions that were planned and executed. These plans were executed quite effectively over many generations. There's a quote from the humanist, The Temporary Society, this book was called, by Philip Slater. He was in 1968 from the official journal of the American Humanist Association. It says, one cannot permit submission to parental authority if one wish to bring centralized regime about and mount a vigorous attack on the family, lest the traditions of present generations be preserved. It is necessary, in other words, artificially to create an experiential chasm between parents and children, to insulate the latter in order that they can more easily be indoctrinated with new ideas. The desire may be to cause an even more total submission to the state. But if one wishes to mold children in order to achieve some future goal, one must begin to view them as superior in as much as they are closer to this future goal. One must also study their needs with care in order to achieve this difficult preparation for the future. One must teach them not to respect their traditional bound elders who are tied to the past and know only what has been traditionally taught. So these things have been, as you said, criminal geniuses. I mean, planned out, written out. And all of this exists in black and white. So the question really is, how do you wake up the population?
Well, the only way I know is what I've been doing for 20 years. We do it like street preachers and Christ himself did it, and that's just go out and make yourself available to answer questions and tell people about what's going on. With the hopes that if enough people are armed with the truth, which is what Thomas Jefferson ever said, if the country's ever in trouble, then rely on the people being armed with the truth, and they will make the right decisions. But the problem is that there's very little truth today. I just was looking for a quote, and I came across one by John Locke. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He lived back in the 1600s. He was an English philosopher. He's the one that said that anybody trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. So that was he was part of the reason that of the creation of the Second Amendment. But I found another quote of his, and see if this doesn't apply to today. Now, this is a portion of his total quote. Whenever the legislators endeavor to take away and destroy the property of the people or to reduce them to slavery under arbitrary power, they put themselves into a state of war with the people, who are thereupon absolved from any further obedience. Power then devolves to the people, who have a right to resume their original liberty and by the establishment of a new legislature, such as they think fit, provide for their own safety and security, which is the end for which they are in society. Again, that was John Locke. And I'll follow it up by Will Rogers, who said, every government is run by liars, and nothing they say should be believed. Hallelujah. They're psychopaths.
They are. They are Luciferian, satanic, pedophile psychopaths.
Yep, absolutely. We got a caller. This is Henry up in, if I can get this program to work, Henry up in Connecticut. Henry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Very good conversation you got going. A lot of good quotes I've been hearing. I just wanted to touch a little bit on the current scandemic. These psychopaths, as you refer to them as, which is a very apt description, they've been pulling this shit off for, well, way longer than 20 years, but especially in the last 20 years. I go back to 2001 when they seemed to, like, up the narrative quite a bit ever since the Twin Tower attacks and the perpetual wars in the Middle East. They've been it seems like they've been gauging how easy it is to control society for a long period of time, and like I said, especially the last couple of decades. I think, you know, you think of, like, you know, 9/11, the weapons of mass destruction, all these boogeymen like Gaddafi. Then more recently, you have all these fake school shootings like Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, I think, was the first big one, and a lot of them since. And that, you know, they use every one of these problems that they create to implement their draconian control, like the Patriot Act, the Red Flag laws. It's always the same thing. They create the problem. They get the expected reaction, and they have the solution in place. But this time, This particular thing here, I think they, I don't know, it's possible that they overestimated, because I think they pushed a little too far, pushed the envelope a little too far on this one, because all the years I've been awake, and all the investigations I've personally done myself, digging into past conspiracies, which are real, by the way, I don't think I've ever seen such a massive propaganda campaign as this one. I mean, story after story of mass graves piling up. And it's not just the mainstream media. It's a lot of these alternative media sources that are they have a plethora of conspiracy theories. Everything but the truth, which is the whole thing's a freaking hoax. And almost all of these alternative or right wing media sources, they're not hardly any of them are questioning that the fact that this is a hoax or a plandemic. I think of one individual in particular, that True News, Rick Wiles and that crew on True News. They took this thing and took it to the, I mean, they were talking about literally two-thirds of the world being killed by this flu.
Well, Henry, let me postulate something for you. Now, this is based on, you're familiar with the parable of the wheat and the tares, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, and you too, Mike. You know that parable, right? Okay,
yes,
now,
indeed.
In that parable, we're told that we're not to tear up the tares until it's time, and when it's time, he's going to separate them for us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, I
now
think I know you
don't. Yep. Yeah, now think about this for just a minute, because it's been bothering me as well. And I'm looking for the positive, and I'm starting to see some positives in all this chaos, because Yahweh doesn't say whether the calamities are his creation, evil men's creation, or
right.
natural creations.
Yep.
He just says that these are the things that are going to happen. Now, We've been wanting to know who are the legitimate patriots, who are the legitimate preachers, who are the legitimate news agencies, etc. Would you not agree that it is as plain as the nose on your face right now who they are?
Yeah, that was the next. That was the very next point I was going to make. That,
oh, okay.
That's why I say they. I think I said they pushed the envelope a little too far in this one, because I think a lot of people who were formerly, we'll call them heads buried in the sand or whatever. I think a lot of those people, because of the forced making people stay at home and all that, I think a lot of, not a lot, but a good percentage, a healthy percentage of the people who have been forced to stay at home because of these stupid things that they're pushing on them are waking up. Not the masses, but a healthy percentage of people that were formerly too busy with their jobs and their, you know, bread and circus entertainment and all that other shit are waking up. And I think that's going to, I think it is going to backfire on them.
Right.
That's why I say that I think they overestimated this one. I think they push, and I think when you think back to 9/11, I think they must have been kind of nervous about pulling, because that was pretty ballsy, if you think back. And they got away. George Bush, he must have been. I know the White House and Bush and Cheney and those were not the. I know they were. They were, complicit with that. I personally think the Mossad was the main agent in that. But the Bush and Cheney and that crew, they must have been pretty nervous when that went down. Because, and then when you think of the way this country reacted after that, they must have been laughing their asses off. And that must have given them the kind of courage to pull off something. And, and they've continued on since then. But nothing as big as 9/11 until now. And even though this doesn't have the dramatic effect of 9/11 seeing those towers come down, I think it's bigger in the sense that it's worldwide, and it's also bigger in the sense that they've allowed, like you were just mentioning, a lot of people seem to be waking up to it, and it could backfire right in their faces.
I think it is going to backfire, and here's another reason why, and I'll use scripture to back it up. He said that their vanity will be part of their undoing, okay? These people are the most vain psychopaths walking the earth ever. He also said, I'm going to put a hook in their jaw and pull them forward ahead of time. That's one of the prophets told us that. Okay, look at what's happening. The wake-up, thanks to the Internet, Yahweh, I believe, provided that for us. The Internet and the fact that we're networking, good people, righteous people, truth seekers are networking all over the earth. This has thrown a monkey wrench into their plans. Now, because we can go around their controlled media, there was an awakening going on all over the earth. That's why this is a worldwide thing. People in other countries are waking up, too. That's why in China... The virus was allowing them to sequester protesters. That's what they want to do here.
Exactly.
Okay, same thing. A large group of people were starting to protest. They needed some kind of cover to suppress the protesters and dissent. So that's exactly what's happening. It's going to happen here as well. So he has pulled them forth ahead of time because of their paranoia. See, that's the good thing about these psychopaths. They're also schizophrenic and extremely paranoid because they know they're evil. They know they have nowhere to go. Okay, this is it. This is all the glory they're ever going to have. This is the only paradise they'll ever know because for them, judgment's coming. They got nothing, okay?
Right.
So they have to try to make this world a paradise for them because after here, they've got nothing except judgment.
Exactly.
So, And so that makes them very paranoid because their paradise is about ready to get turned into a flame. And Obadiah says that we, his sons and daughters, will become a flame and a fire, just like Ezekiel at chapter 25 says. We will become a flame and a fire, and we will consume the wicked. Okay, that's a biblical way of saying we are going to bring hell down on their heads and they will be annihilated. It doesn't say that we're going to send them off to psychiatrists or prison and try to rehabilitate them. No, it says that we will annihilate them, which is exactly what needs to happen, because you cannot convert a psychopath. You can't do it.
Right.
They don't have a conscience. They have no empathy. Okay? They're like a zombie. They're what the scripture calls a spiritually dead person, the walking dead or a zombie. Okay?
Look
That's what they are.
Yeah, I mean, just look at them. I mean, look at Bill and Melinda Gates. Have you ever seen a more detestable husband and wife in your life?
Well, I see lots of them, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, that woman, she is without a doubt a man. I don't know if you've ever looked at her face and her features, physical features. She's a woman. And I'm starting to wonder if Bill might have been born a female.
Well, here again, a lot of people find it hard to believe, but the transgenderism thing is very, very prominent. A good case was made for that with the governor of Michigan, and I didn't really think about it until I saw a video today where whatever that thing is was giving us a talk, and it was like, uh-oh, we got another Serena Williams here. We got another Michael Obama combination going on here.
That seems to be what they seem to take pleasure in, putting those transgenders into high positions of authority. That seems to be that they're so demented.
They're Satan worshipers.
Well, there you go. And
Satan means adversary. So the adversary is the adversary about everything that has to do with our Creator Father.
Everything natural.
Yeah, everything natural. So he created men and women. Well, they have to undo it. They have to take men and make them women, and women and make them men, because they are the adversary to all that is righteous and good. So it makes perfect sense if you think about it. And the other thing is, once these people do that, they own them.
Right.
They own them, just like the ones that went to Epstein's Island, okay? They own them from that point on.
And, you know, you do know that Bill Gates was also on the Lolita Express.
Well, is there any doubt?
You know, I mean,
they're all in on it. Okay?
I know. We tend to think that the presidents, the Trumps and the Trudeaus, are the leaders of the world. But they're all taking orders from the people behind the curtains. And most of them, if not all of them, are a certain nationality or a certain religion. I don't know if they're a nationality or religion. Quite frankly, I got sick of even thinking about that, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Begins in J and ends in W.
Yeah, but it's Edom Esau, okay? And Edom Esau is a race, okay? Because a lot of Jews are atheists. They admit that they're atheists. I used to work for one. I didn't know he was when I went to work at the plant. I found out later on that he was. And from his behavior and how cheap he was, I can certainly believe it. But one day he, now get a load of this. His name was Ben, okay? And he said, I'm going to treat all my contractors to lunch. So we all thought, well, he's going to take us out to a nice restaurant. He took us to the plant cafeteria.
Wow.
And bought us a packaged sandwich and a bowl of soup or something. So this was his great treat for us making him millions of dollars at the power plant. But anyway, he sits down next to me and he's eating a ham sandwich. So I just looked over at him because I had just learned my identity, and my buddy Larry was instrumental in bringing me up to speed on identifying the Jew. So I just kind of looked at him and I kind of grinned and I said, Ben, I said, isn't that a ham sandwich? He said, well, yeah, why? And I said, I thought you were a Jew. And he just sort of laughed and he said, yeah, well, I'm not a practicing Jew. So, it's when it's convenient for him. It's like Sammy Davis Jr., who's black, became a Jew so he could get along in Hollywood. Marilyn Monroe supposedly converted, okay? Madonna converted. They all convert because they want to be part of the tribe. They want the money. They want the glamour. and they sold their soul, okay?
Yeah.
They're the people that Messiah was talking about. What's it gain a person to sell, to get all the riches of the world and lose your soul?
Exactly. But,
okay, these people, I don't know what's going through their heads.
Well, they're not, like you said, they have no empathy. They don't think like us.
No, they don't have a conscience.
They clearly don't have a conscience. Their DNA is defective, so that's what they are. You know, I don't want to dominate here, so step in. I wanted to give you guys a chance to have a good talk, and I didn't want to interrupt because you really had a good flow. So if you've got something to...
It's fine.
All right. I just wanted to say one other thing in response to what Dan was just saying. This is something I've been doing a lot of lately. I may see something on a video, or especially when something like this is going on, you see all these political figures come to the forefront. It's people like this governor of Michigan, who I never even heard of or saw before. You know, that's a perfect example, as a matter of fact. I'll see something like that. I'll find out about this governor of Michigan. I look at her. I get a little suspicious right off the bat from her mannerisms and her look and everything. And I can't prove that she's Jewish, but you know,
and
it's not just politicians I'm talking about either. I'm talking about actors, people in front of the cameras, people in big places that don't have obvious Jewish names like Shapiro or Stein or whatever. And I'm amazed. I do this a lot. It's like a little thing that I do. I spend like a half an hour a day, and I just research. I know you can't really depend on Wikipedia, so you get a little what you can from there, but you do a little more digging. And I am amazed at almost every time I'm suspicious of somebody because they're filthy, rotten, and corrupt. It's almost inevitably, every single time, you can find out that they're either Jewish or crypto-Jew. It's
right.
Just, it blows your mind. And if you told a person off the street, that somebody that doesn't have a Jewish, say Bill Gates, for example, if I start talking to my neighbor about, you know, oh, they're going to agree, Bill Gates is, everybody knows Bill Gates is evil now. But if you said to him, oh, by the way, did you know he's a Jew? They'll go, no. But the fact of the matter, I'm almost positive he is too.
Hey, you judge them by their fruits. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
It's a duck.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Christ said a good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. And Bill Gates's fruit is rotten to the core.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever his DNA is, he's not Aryan, that's for sure.
Oh,
take a look at him, okay? Could you picture somebody in ancient Greece making a statue of him?
Oh, my God. That's what I say. I seriously doubt if he was born a man. He's had surgeries to make his face look like a woman because he's got no features of a man's head at all. I don't know. I just don't know. But
again, I use that as part of my criteria, not just their fruits, but I don't need a DNA test from some Jew organization like 23andMe and all that. They're all run by Jews, by the way.
Right.
So I wouldn't give them my DNA if they put a gun in my head. So, you know, I look at people like that and I think, well, let's picture that individual as a statue at the at the Pantheon or in a Greek temple or, you know, in the palace of King David. Would there be a statue of that individual there? I seriously doubt it, okay?
Yeah.
Serena Williams will never be emboldened in marble, okay?
Yep.
It's a guy, all right? So
absolutely.
So the mayor or the governor of New York, nope, ain't never going to be a statue of that hag. The governor of Michigan, nope, I don't think you'll ever see a statue of that monstrosity either. So here again, if they're ugly on the inside and their deeds are ugly, that shows up on the exterior, okay? Yahweh's people are beautiful people inside and out.
Right.
Okay, yes. Like one lady used to say at our gatherings, Israelites, and that's who we are loving, caring, sharing people.
Yep.
Okay, sometimes to a fault. And right now, it's to a fault. We are allowing a hideous alien group to take this beautiful land and turn it into hell.
Absolutely.
And that's to our chagrin, okay? Our Father's going to hold us accountable for not doing our job.
Yep.
If we don't get off our asses pretty soon as men and say enough is enough and put an end to this nonsense, we're going to be the ones punished.
Yeah, that's part of the feminization of men. That's been going back for decades. It's in this country especially, it's just, all the West, actually, all the Western countries.
The men have to get up and put their stones back in their sacks again.
That's the way we used to
I know the feminists and the Jews and the media and the schools have all done they could to denud us, so to speak.
Yep.
But we, through the power of our Father, we can become men again. But we have to take a stand and we have to work at it. Okay? But it is possible. I know they've done everything they could to emasculate our men. I've seen far too many of our men. Guys I used to think were stellar. And I'm really ashamed at how many of my fellow military veteran friends act more like 14-year-old kids at school than they do real men.
Yep.
It's pitiful. It's pitiful.
Yeah.
So we have to take the bull by the horns, and we have to lead by example, which means we have to become men again. And we have to solve this problem as men. Okay? We can't ask the women to do it. We can't ask the adolescents to do it. And we sure as hell, we can't ask the people who created all these problems to fix it, which is the government and the Jews. So it's us men. And that's what they're afraid of. That's why these restrictions on gatherings, because that's what was starting to happen. White men with weapons were starting to form groups. Well, what better tool to outlaw that, okay? But we have to say, bring it on.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to meet in groups whether you like it or not. So bring it on. Let's get this show on the road here. Bring it on. You guys go get yours. We'll go get ours, and we'll see who's standing at the end of the day. Okay, it's going to come down to that. Why be afraid of it? I like what James Lancia, the retired police officer from Connecticut, on this show said last year. I would love to be in a righteous conflict with men, my fellow men, shoulder to shoulder, to fight for a righteous cause for a change instead of for the corporations. Even if it costs me my life, I would rather fall on the battlefield with a bunch of men who are just like us.
You know what that makes me think of? That makes me think of the National Socialists fighting against world communism and the capitalists. From 1939 to 45, they were fighting for a righteous cause, even though they, especially at the end, they knew they were going to die.
I'll tell you what, it brings, I have a book on the SS. It was published by some big publishing company, but it's a very large book. It's like 15 inches wide by 18 or 19. It's a big book, full glossy picture. It's the history of the SS. And as I look through that book, I transfer myself back to those men that fought. And I remember the stories like the book Hellstorm and the video that was made by Mr.
Thomas
Goodrich. And I've read the stories by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and I've read Mein Kampf, I've read De Grauwe, and many of these other people that actually lived in those times. I've actually talked to some Germans who were young, very young people during the war. So I put all that together, and I remember what General George S. Patton said, that the most righteous soldier on the field of battle in World War II was the German.
Waffen-SS. Yep.
And the Waffen-SS was the highest righteousness of all soldiers, even of the regular German army. And they had a very strict code of honor, very strict code of honor.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think of that, and then I think about when I read that the more French men died fighting for Germany than against Germany. How many people know that?
Right.
Okay. And here's another thing. The German SS was made up of many different nationalities and sometimes even different races.
Yeah,
there were Indians, Asian Indians in the SS. There were Huns and Serbs and other people in the SS, okay, because they were all fighting communism. The only thing different about the SS units is that every officer and leader of SS units had to be German, but there were many times that the men themselves were other than German or were other than Germans, okay?
Yep.
And one of the best stories was when Berlin was falling, the last unit of SS soldiers protecting the bunker was made of Frenchmen, entirely of Frenchmen.
Yeah.
So the last German SS unit to hold off the Allies and the Soviets from taking over was made up of Frenchmen. And they fought till there were only 13 guys left. 13, that's it, out of their whole battalion. And guess what? And guess what that piece of shit de Gaulle did? Okay? De Gaulle captured the 13 men. He questioned them as to why they fought for the Germans, and then he shot all 13 of them.
Yeah.
Okay? So the story, they hoped that the story would never get out, that there were a lot of Frenchmen who thought the Germans were more righteous in their cause than the French government.
Well, it just goes to show you there's it's the righteous separate themselves. And it wasn't just the look at the young kids, 13, 14 years old, towards the end of the war when so many of the soldiers were either captured or prisoners or dead. You had older men in their 40s, 50s, young kids, and 13, 14 years old fighting.
You know why? Because they knew that the Red Terror was following.
It would be a worse death, right. Exactly.
That's right. That's why the German SS was committed to destroying communism, because they knew what it would bring to Europe. So we celebrate the massacring of the Italians and the Germans when they were trying to save Europe from the Red Horde.
It's not unlike everything else in the world today, upside down.
It's upside down. That's right. They lied. They lied. Even General Patton, and the reason they murdered him in France in that hospital, they poisoned him, was because he was going to come back to the States and tell us that we fought the wrong enemy. Once he got around the Soviet army, he realized that, man, there's no way we want to turn that loose on the world. Okay? And so we fought the wrong enemy. And they couldn't afford for him to come back with his big mouth and his popularity amongst the American people and tell them that the Jews were a great, much greater threat, the Soviet Jews. And here's another thing, too. There was a white Russian army and a red Russian army. A lot of people don't know that. The white Russian army was made up of the real Russian people, which are Caucasian.
Yep.
Okay? The red Russian army was made up of Jews and a bunch of Asiatics, etc.
Yep.
And that's the ones that they feared, because they acted like animals.
Yep.
Now, when they invaded Germany, the white Russian army was ahead of the red.
And they warned them. Yep.
And they warned the Germans to run.
Yep.
Especially the women and children. They said, run. You do not want to fall into the hands of what's behind us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all the
let me ask again. When's the last time a preacher told his congregation about that? When was the last time you had a Bible study and we talked about Luke 19, verse 27, and the truth of World War II? When did any of these truths ever permeate the halls of a church in America today?
Not probably since Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comprey.
I don't think that they preached in a church, though. They taught on the radio and things like that.
Right.
But, I mean, in the churches in America, would you ever hear these kind of truths?
No.
Because,
they're propagandized through the TV just like the rest of the masses.
Well, the preachers today have actually, not all of them, but many of them have become part of that secret clerical registry or whatever it's called. They basically have agreed to go along with whatever the government wants to do to the detriment of their congregation.
Yep.
Okay, they've sold their souls.
There's even some preachers today who are wise to the Jew. I think of Chuck Baldwin. He's a respectable guy. And a couple of months ago, I heard him speak, and he said something that made me think he was starting to figure it out about World War II. But then more recently, I heard him once again do some Nazi bashing. So,
well, that's where I think the Father's giving us some tools. One of them is this fake virus pandemic. That's telling you who the good agencies are, and also true history of World War II. If people don't know the true history of World War II, or they don't know the Jew, and they're pushing this fake virus thing, then that is a clear indication that you don't want to be around those people, because they're going to go down. You don't want to talk to them. You don't want them anywhere near you. You don't listen to anything they say. Distance yourself from them.
Absolutely.
By the way, Michael here is talking about starting up his own show. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Michael, what it's going to be about and everything?
Well, it's really premature for that. I'm a ways away from being able to do that.
Okay. Well, how about your book then? Tell them what you're working on.
Well, I'm working on a book called Prophets and Poets, and it's taking passages from the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Book of Enoch, the Bible, the Urantia book, the poems of Emily Dickinson, and I'm stringing together these passages from January 1st through December 31st, so a passage a day, and attempting to put it together in a way that shows the connection between all of these prophets and what we're going through today. And that's the first part of the book, which is the meditation. So it's just the verses and passages to meditate on. And then the second part of the book was the interpretations, where I write a short interpretation of that passage or verse. And it's an incredible honor, an incredible privilege. I can't tell you how gratifying it is to work with the God-knowing men and women of past centuries. The words that they wrote, it's just such a privilege. I'm honored to do that work.
Sounds good.
Yep, absolutely. I can't wait to see it out.
You have a favorite?
When the world is looked on from above, there's really only two classes that are delineated, and that's those who know God and those who don't.
Right.
It's pretty much that simple. And we recognize ourselves as sons and daughters of God, that the Spirit of our Father dwells within us, that the kingdom of heaven is within us. You know, Jesus showed us the kingdom within in the indwelling of our Father's Spirit, and he sent us his Spirit to live with us and fight with us and inspire us. And there's also the outer kingdom, which, I mean, he clearly taught us in seven succinct words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How can you say it any better?
Absolutely. That's right.
When you're living on a world that's been in rebellion against God for so long.
Well, Adam, the Adamic race was put here with a charge to keep the earth, to keep the garden. It says garden, but garden is a Hebrew word, just means a portion of land. It could be any size. It just means, like, those of us that know about the firmament and all, we know what that's talking about. So Adam was put here, and he was given a commission to keep the earth. okay, which is what our job is. We are, and again, people don't like the talk about the racial aspect, but I'm sorry to say this, but it's the white man's burden to bring God's law to the earth and to maintain it and to make sure everybody adheres by it. Because think about it. If everybody's living, excuse me, if everybody's living according to his law, there's peace and prosperity for everybody. Okay?
Yeah,
it's not a burden. It doesn't give us a right to enslave others or steal their property or murder them. No. But we are supposed to not only live it ourselves, but we're also to teach others to live by it as well and to punish the evil. Okay? The world only has evil here because we stopped punishing it. Just like in the United States, why do we have so much crime today? Because we stopped capital punishment.
Yep.
Okay. How many poor girls have been raped by a repeat offender? How many lives have been snuffed out by repeat murderers that should have been executed?
Yep.
Okay. You don't reconcile a criminal. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to reconcile a criminal.
Yeah.
It says get rid of them.
Yeah. And by the way, bringing that up to speed with what's going on in the world today, they're emptying the prisons. Now, I'm not saying they're emptying the prisons of the murderers, although I don't know.
In some cases, they are.
There you go. I mean, what does that tell you about where we are in history?
Yeah, we're turning criminals loose on the street, and we're putting preachers and business owners in jail.
And people who get closer than 6 feet to each other at a public park or a beach.
It's called insanity, Henry. You're living in an insane world. This is an insane asylum. You're living in an insane asylum.
It's more obvious now. That's why so many people are waking up. You've got to be pretty brain dead now to see how backwards everything is.
If you can't see it now, I've done that with some of my friends over this this whole fake pandemic. I've basically told them that, you know, if you're going to go along with this, first of all, if you're you know it's a hoax, but you're going along with it, or you're so stupid that you can't figure it out. Either way, I don't want you in my circle.
Yeah. You know what,
You don't need to call me anymore. You don't need to email me. You don't need to communicate with me because you've got nothing that I want to hear.
Right. This one is, unlike, even though, well, yeah, I'll just say it straight out. This one is way, way easier to figure out than 9/11 or any of the other ones. This one is so obvious to anyone with brain cells.
Oh,
my God.
I would think so. Michael, what do you think? I think it should be pretty obvious.
I think from day one for people like us, because we've already been awake, but for the ones that have been busy working 50, 60 hours a week and have 3, 4 kids to raise and stuff, you can cut them a little bit of slack. But now that they've been given some time and can assess, even those that do have a functioning brain can see the obvious now. So it's added to our numbers, and that could swing it into our favor now.
Well, the people that are waking up have all of a sudden turned on a desire for truth, okay?
Yeah.
He said, I'm sending a strong delusion on them because they no longer love the truth. So what this is doing is finally getting some people to say, you know what, maybe the truth does matter. Maybe the lies on television and what the medical mafia says and lying politicians, maybe I need to do some digging and actually want the truth.
Right.
So he said, if you change, if you repent, that's what repent means, rethink, change the way you're thinking. If you change the way you're thinking to where truth matters, then Father says he'll work with you.
Yeah, it always starts.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, but if you stay in the camp where truth doesn't matter, you're going to stay in the delusion. And that's what he's doing. He's separating the wheat from the chaff.
Absolutely.
I think it's great.
Me too.
Because I see a whole lot of people every day that won't be here much longer. And personally, I'm going to be glad to see them gone.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. There's a lot of these people that I'm not going to miss them at all.
Yes.
I got to be honest. There's a lot of them that I'm not going to miss. Some of them I call friends and family. But I'll tell you the honest truth. Yahshua told us that we should love him above anything on this earth, and that includes wives, children, jobs, money, buildings, ego. That you're to love nothing on this earth more than him. And that's where I put my soul.
Yeah, the tough one in there for a lot of people, not with me and you, I know that. And but the tough one that you just listed there, putting Yahweh above even your wife and your children. But you must, because if you do, everything else falls into place.
Amen. What did he say about somebody that doesn't love him over all those things? He said, you don't deserve me.
Exactly.
So why would he save you? Why are you asking him to save you or these people that go around, God bless America. I've been saying it for 40 years.
Wow.
Why would a righteous God bless this nation? Why?
Ugh.
Because for 40-some years, you have created a nation that says it's okay to murder babies. So right there, just that one thing.
That's
you have killed, just in this year alone, worldwide, we've killed 9 million babies the first quarter of this year. 9 million babies. That's a lot of innocent blood. And Yahweh made it very clear through the prophets, your land is cursed until innocent blood has been revenged. Okay? We have not held anybody accountable for the shedding of all that blood. Yeah, we're dangerously close to being the ones who are going to come under the fiery judgment. If we don't rise up and take that sword that's mentioned in Psalm and put it to the wicked. A lot of people say, well, Dan, that's being judgmental. You know, they might convert at some point. Really? How long do you give murderers and rapists to convert? How long do you give the abortion mills time to repent? The book, I don't see in the book where it says there's any kind of time limit there. The book says if you take a life, yours will be taken.
Yep.
Send them back to the Father. Let him take care of them. You don't leave them. That's what the plague is. When Phinehas destroyed the race trader amongst the Israelites in the book of Numbers, you can read about Phinehas. When Phinehas executed that prince and the female he was with, he was blessed. He wasn't cursed. He was blessed. And his posterity was blessed in perpetuity. That's what the book says. Okay? So where's this concept that we're supposed to allow wicked men to get away with what they're doing because someday they might repent? No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take them out once we've proven that they've done that and execute them. Okay? Now the plague has been lifted from you. Now that race traitor is not going to come back and convince others to do it. That rapist is not going to rape anymore. That murderer is not going to commit murder anymore. That kidnapper will not take your child and put him into a sex slave trade situation. No, they're going to be dead.
It's so simple. It's stupid.
Well,
you know, it's just, you're so...
Yeah, it's not rocket science.
You know, we let them in. Ben Franklin and George Washington warned us. We let them in. And now we're paying... What'd they say? Two centuries. You live within 2 centuries.
Yeah, Benjamin Franklin
will be.
Said that.
I don't know. I can't quote him. I don't memorize his quotes, but
yeah,
they warned us.
Yeah, Ben Franklin did. Yeah, Ben Franklin and George Washington actually said they should be hunted down like vermin and exterminated. Oh, okay. George Washington said that. But again, would you hear that in a church today? Instead,
never.
You'll hear fat pieces of garbage like John Hagee or Kenneth Copeland or any of these other prostitutes will sit there and tell you they're God's chosen people. Well, they are chosen. They're chosen for the fires of hell. They're not chosen in the sense that they're good people. Obadiah says that they're chosen for extermination at some point. Okay, so in a sense, John Hagee and the other lying prostitutes are right in that they're chosen. It's just, what are they chosen for? They're chosen to be annihilated. That's what they're chosen for, because they're behind every single act of evil going on in this world.
That's
and
it.
I'll tell you what, I've been on a lot of platforms lately, and I said, here's a little experiment. Go follow the money, because that's what you do in every case as a good investigator. Go follow the money, because somebody has to be paying for this nonsense. Doesn't matter what it is, follow the money. Now, how many times does that money lead you back to a person or an institution that's either controlled by or financed by Jews? Every time.
Yeah.
Every single time.
And that's not, you know, that's not an exaggeration. I think you're 100% right. It's every time.
Every time.
Most of the time, every time.
And how do we know that? Because in the scriptures, in the New Testament, what did Christ say to the Jews in the book of John? All you're responsible for all of the righteous blood shed from Abel to Zechariah. That meant all the innocent blood shed
from the
beginning.
And then from then forward to now, the same is true.
Same is true. Nothing changes. That's, I mean, if they did all the innocent killing for the thousands of years prior to Christ's time, what makes you think they're going to change? Doesn't the Bible say a leopard can't change its spots?
Right.
All right. What Christ told us. See, if you properly translate the scriptures, Christ warned us about every single thing we're talking about tonight.
Well, there was
beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Okay? How do Jews do things? By the leavening process, making small, almost imperceptible changes in a thing or a process. That's leavening. That's right out of the Webster's Dictionary. And how do Jews work?
Yeah,
by leavening.
There was quite an extensive period of time. And I don't know if you agree with this interpretation, but for close to 1,000 years, where, you know, throughout Europe, I mean, they had to live in the ghettos and they weren't allowed to carry on their nefarious ways. And then I guess with the after the French Revolution, they were loosed again. Now, that could be an interpretation of that. You know, a lot of people talk about that thousand-year reign after Christ returns, and then Satan's going to be loosed again, which is so silly to think about that in those terms. But if you think about it as an historical event, you could think about that long period of time, which is close to 1,000 years, where they lived throughout Europe, they basically lived in the ghettos and weren't allowed to pillage and exploit white people. And then after the French Revolution, all hell has broken loose again since they've been emancipated. What do you think of that?
Well, it's possible. I mean, I look at principles when I don't try to get into translating the scriptures as if
it's difficult. It is.
Yeah, because first of all, we don't know the word usage. Just look at the word usage in our own lifetime, how it's changed, okay? So we don't know the idioms of the day that well. We know some, but not all of them. We don't even know if the actual word was used like we think it was in that time. So you have to look at principles more than exact interpretations, because way too many, it's just like the eye of the needle, the camel going through the eye of the needle, okay? And that used to bother me when I was a teenager, because I'd sit around and I'd think about the logic of it, and I'm going, well, obviously a camel can't go through the eye of a needle, okay? So that doesn't even make sense. So you're telling me a rich person can't enter the kingdom ever? Well, when you find out that no, The eye of the needle was an idiomatic expression because the needle was the term the Romans gave for the small, narrow gates going into the city.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Instead of the big wide gate where the main entrance was,
right,
they had little needles around the perimeter, and that's what it was talking about. Because it was narrow, a camel could get through it, but it was tough. It couldn't be a big fat camel, and it couldn't have a lot of stuff on it like baggage. You had to take your camel through pretty much dressed down. So the point was that it's difficult, but not impossible.
Not impossible. Oh, yeah. True.
Okay.
Totally.
So, especially when the camel's carrying a lot of what? Merchandise and goods. So if you're a person carrying a lot of baggage from this world, meaning your love of money, your love of drugs, your love of sex, and you're trying to get into the kingdom, it's going to be pretty damn hard. You're going to have to shed all of that garbage, all that bad thinking and bad education. You're going to have to shed that and become a new man and a new woman in Christ. Now you can walk through the narrow gate. But if you're carrying all that other stuff with you, all that idol worship and everything else, you're going to have a really tough time getting into the kingdom.
Amen.
Doesn't that make more sense?
Yes.
That's why I love studying it, because once you get to figure out the idiomatic expression and the proper translation, the Bible is such a book of wisdom. It's so precise. Virtually everything in my life that ever went wrong was, I can take it back to a verse that if I had followed it or understood it better, I would never have done that. It would never have happened to me.
Yeah.
So the same thing with our country right now. Why is our country in the shape it's in? Look at how many scriptural commandments we're violating today. Number one being the murdering of children.
Yeah.
We can't even protect the most innocent life known to man, and that's a baby in its mother's womb. We can't even protect that.
Yeah.
We can't even agree that it's sacred. We got half our population running around saying it's my body, my choice. Really? Since when, bitch?
Really? Since the Jew taught us.
I want to see you stand in front of that great white throne judgment and you give that piece of lame excuse to the Father when you stand in front of him. I can't wait. I'm going to have my popcorn and my drink in my hands because that's going to be entertaining. When all these little pink pussy hat wearing feminists come marching in front of Yahweh and he's going to ask them why they murdered their children. Now, for the ladies out there that were deceived and fell into it, don't forget, Yahshua said, I wash away all sin with my blood. All right? So we're not condemning here because all of us have made mistakes. What I'm trying to say is we're supposed to repent of it and then go out and teach people the truth. So when you've got young women in your family or your own children or whatever, teach them the truth about races. Teach them the truth about abortion. We should stop calling it abortion. It's infanticide. It's
murder.
A baby, not a fetus, and it's not an abortion. It's infanticide. Because abortion is a natural process. 10% of all pregnancies abort naturally. Because there's something wrong. That's another thing we don't teach anymore. Okay? We got people that think they can fall in love with somebody and then they wonder why they can't have children. Well, it's because they're mated up with somebody who doesn't match. Okay? I give a great example of that. I grew up on a farm. Did you ever notice if man gets out of the way and lets the cattle go out into the field, that bull knows what heifers he can mate with. And how does he know that? By smell. And I've watched him in the fields do it. Some of the heifers he will mount and they'll get pregnant. Other heifers he wouldn't go near them. Why? Well, maybe they weren't the right kind. Or maybe they had an illness. Etc. Okay, the bull on his own, he can tell that. We think today we don't have to pay attention to any of that. So blood type matches don't matter. DNA matches don't matter. Race doesn't matter. Nothing matters anymore. Just your hormonal experience. I had somebody that I thought was intelligent tell me that one time here recently. Oh, it doesn't matter, Dan, because you can love anybody. Well, yeah, you can love lots of people, but that doesn't mean you mate with them. I have a love for a lot of people. I love my neighbor next door. He's not white, but he's a great guy, him and his wife, but I sure as hell wouldn't mate with him. Him or her. Okay? That you see what I'm saying?
Him, that would be real bad.
Well, what I'm saying is by race, okay? His race is not compatible. You know, the point of it is that we've become so soft. And we've fallen into this modern church nonsense where the only thing that matters is that everybody feels good and we don't hurt anybody's feelings. Like, you know, we paint this picture of Christ as like he's a hippie walking around with long hair and sandals and I just love everybody. Send all the little children over here and you all come over here and you transgenders and you rapists and you murderers, come on over here because I just love everybody. That's not what's in the book. And I'm going to tell a lot of people something here right now, okay? I was given a commission. I'm not doing this because it's fun. I'm doing this because it's my commission. And I'm telling you straight from the horse's mouth, that's not the Christ of the Bible.
Amen.
So you people out there that think that is, you need to tune in somewhere else or get away from me. Because the man in that Bible that's referred to as Yeshua HaMashiach, or the Christ, which means anointed one, if you think that he's going to accept all this garbage that the modern day church world teaches, I got news for you. You're going to have a rude awakening really soon. There's a wake-up call going out right now. You've had your time to play in the sandbox, and you've ruined it. You have ruined this pristine, beautiful world with all of this nonsensical doctrines of devils. Where does it say that in the Bible? Teaching the doctrines of devils, and who did he call devils? Jews. Teaching the doctrines of devils for the commandments of the Father. That's what we're living under. We're living under the doctrines of devils, even in the church world. And they don't work. They enslave mankind. They create disease, hardship, mental anguish, depression, schizophrenia, you name it. Why do we have so much of that today? Because we're living in a world that's full of insanity. And the only way you can get sane again is to repent and come back under his simple, commonsensical law, period. Not man's law. Isn't it Peter that said, if it's a choice between man's law and God's law, we must obey God? Isn't that what Peter said?
Yeah.
In fact, I got it right here. I'm looking right at it. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, quote, we must obey Yahweh God rather than men. Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yep.
We're living in a perverse world, and it's ugly. It's ugly. And I don't think the Father's going to allow it to go on much longer. I think I know the enemy thinks it's going to be a reset where the New World Order is going to take over. I think it's going to be a reset where they go up in flames. And all of the unrighteous people will, too. It's not just the people in government and pharmaceuticals and the rich fat cats at the top of the Jewish banking system, that they're obviously going to go up in flames. But there's a whole lot of people walking in your neighborhood that aren't going to make it either, that flaunt the laws of the living God and think they're going to get away with it. What's he say about those who mock him? Does it end well for him?
No way.
I don't think so. Mike, we haven't heard from you in a while, bud.
Well, yeah, I see that we are witnessing the culmination of iniquity on this world.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I think it's the culmination is a very good way of putting it. Well, let me ask you, Mike, if you have any kind of a premonition on the timeline where we are. Do you have any ideas about that, how fast and where we are on the timeline?
I would say any day or any hour.
Wow, that close, huh? Yeah. How about you, Henry?
It appears as if we're on the precipice. I thought for a long time that 2020 was the year. I thought it was going to be, for some reason, I thought it was going to be more towards the elections. I thought things were going to explode. But when this thing happened, and I saw the way they unfold, you know, the way it unfolded, the way the government is setting themselves up to be the saviors of humanity. You see that narrative every night on their little press conferences at 6 o'clock. Not that I watch them. I've seen a few on YouTube. But if it wasn't for the measures that they're taking, you know, first they set us up and tell us that millions and millions of people are going to die. But we're going to do these. We're going to implement these measures. And they do, and they restrict our lives, and now they're going to claim that because of what they did for us, that they saved millions of lives, because millions of lives were not going to be lost anyway, and they know it. So I think, you know, and that is waking people up and making people angry, and it's just, and the economic system is in decay, and it's going to explode, it's going to collapse. And I think when that happens, I think chaos ensues. And like you said already, the wheat and the tares are separating themselves. So our enemies will be obvious to each other. And I think this is the year. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, but I think and the other reason I think that is because this is global. This is all countries are affected by this, and I can't think of a recent false flag that affected the whole world like this. So that's what makes me think that the time is extremely close.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maximus here wrote in that he recalls back in the 50s his mom and dad had to get a blood test. I remember that as well. In fact, if I remember right, when I got married, but I know for sure my mom and dad had to have a blood test. Ralph in Canada said he thinks it'll be in 2021. But let me just read you something I just got. This is from Lyle Rapaki, who's the Sentinel Intelligence Services guy. He's a PhD. He's got a background in law enforcement and threat assessment. He just sent me this YouTube connection. Now, obviously, I haven't seen it, but he's got a comment section here. He says, the YouTube below was sent to me just minutes ago by a law enforcement official who expressed concern for the subtle but very real loss of personal liberties taking a place across the country. He mentioned that officers are most concerned for their own safety,
ooh,
their own beliefs, versus following orders they are questioning, and where all of this is leading. The YouTube report contains information not at all shown by opinion-shaping platforms formerly known as the media.
Yeah, that's actually a good sign, I think.
Well, I think it is a good sign, and I had a feeling, well, there's four sheriffs in Michigan that have already come out and said that they're not going to enforce what that little Jewish hag governor is putting out.
Yep.
So the pushback is already starting to formulate. The people just need to know the moral reasons why they have a right to do what they're doing. They need to know that this catastrophe is because of our violations of biblical law.
Yep.
That's the only problem I have. I hope the people gathering realize that you can't just get upset because your business is shut down or you feel that your ability to walk around. This country was founded by followers of Christ, okay? Whether people like to hear that or not. This country was established for the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, and his anointed. That's what it was established for. Our laws are based on the biblical principles. William Blackstone said it very eloquently when he said, any law created by a body of men that goes counter to God's law is no law at all. Okay? The founders quoted William Blackstone all the time. So anybody that thinks for 1 minute that we're going to go back to, quote, a normal, meaning a godless society and succeed, no. The whole purpose for what's happening right now is to teach us a lesson. You need to come, that's in essence, the Father is saying, I'm calling out, I'm knocking at the door. Who's going to answer my call?
Yep.
Okay? You want me to heal your land. What does Hosea 4:6 say? Okay, there's some conditions. You're calling on him to heal your land, but you're not following the conditions. So that's a form of insanity. Asking the Creator to fix your mess, but you don't want to repent and change the way you think, that's a form of insanity.
Yeah. Yeah, this could just be a time that Yahweh's allowing. Obviously, there are people that are waking up, and maybe initially they're just waking up to the fact that the governments are being oppressive, and maybe they're not seeing it in the total proper light that you just expanded on. But given time, perhaps they will, and I think that Yahweh is using this time for that to take place, and it's I don't think it's going to be a long period of time at all. We could be talking about just a few short months. And then we'll see how it unfolds. But my feelings are, and that's just my instincts. It's what I feel. I see it coming down, and I'm very excited.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people are excited because it's whatever shape it takes, and day by day what happens, this is what we were told about for thousands of years.
And don't get me wrong, I think if it gets extended out to be more than a couple of months, if this goes into a year or two, clearly if it goes into years as opposed to months, clearly those of us like us are going to face some pretty dire consequences, but we shouldn't fear them because we know who's on our side. But you know, if these sickos, psychopaths, get their way and they get mandated vaccinations and so forth, which is will probably ultimately result in the inability for those of us who refuse to purchase things, travel restrictions, et cetera, life could get kind of bad, but not to the point where those of us who have the kind of faith that we have in our Father, not to the point where it'll get us to the point where we'd be willing to give up our freedom, because we know the bleaker it gets. And if it does get to that point, that his return is just that much nearer. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm not saying I'm waiting for him to come and save the day. I'm willing to do my part, as limited as that might be. I'm just going to pray every day and hunker down and do whatever I can do, and spread the word to as many people as I can, those who are willing to listen, and not waste time with those who aren't.
Oh, yeah. Exactly right. How about you, Mike?
Yes, I think the time is being allowed. The Father wants to save as many of his children as he possibly can. I mean, what father wouldn't? No father wants to see a child die. And we're
correct.
Talking about a life and death struggle that is not mortal life, but eternal life.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
And, go, choose you this day whom you will you serve.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, believe it or not, it's been 2 hours, so that went fast.
Well, you're on the air a lot lately, Dan.
Well, I stepped it up because of requests.
And make up for lost time, right?
And to make up for lost time, but mostly because of the seriousness. I got a lot of feedback from folks that like to listen to our conversations because they, again, I'm just saying what was sent to me, okay? I'm not trying to. But it was told to me that they like to listen in because they hear more common sense, rational thinking and discussion, and it helps them deal with the insanity of today when they can hear us.
That's my sentiments exactly. I missed it when you were, you know, not doing too many of these broadcasts. I missed it. I really look forward to it for the exact same reasons you just mentioned. It gives me there's a little sense of sanity that there's still people like us out there, and just to hear the feedback and the talk and the common sense, like you said, we don't get it anywhere else.
So, right. Well, you know, we just talked about the verse at the beginning of the program where it says, all things work to the good for those that love the Father and are chosen by him with a purpose, okay? So I look at it this way. Yeah, the enemy is doing all this. There's no doubt about that. But is there a silver lining in this dark cloud? Yeah, guess what? There's more people listening to the things we're talking about than before. I've been contacted by people that wouldn't give me the time of day up until recently.
Yeah.
So the pressure is ugly, and it's for nefarious reasons, but our Father can turn anything into a good if the person has the right attitude and the right motives. So he's putting, you know, let me just say that real quick, because it's such a beautiful analogy. The Bible verse that talks about silver, and a lady at a church group one time asked a guy that was an actual silversmith about that. She said, you know, here the Bible talks about us being tested in the fire like silver, sometimes gold, but silver was the one that she was talking about. So this guy was a silversmith, and he said, oh, yeah, I can tell you about that. He goes, when I get dirty silver that's been contaminated, and we used to clean mercury in the shops where I work, so I have a little idea how that works. But he said, I take the silver, and I put it in a crucible, and I put it in the fire. Now, he said, because the fire will burn the dross off and cleanse it. He goes, but you have to be careful, because if the fire's not hot enough, it won't burn the dross off. Mm. However, if it's too much fire, you can actually burn the silver and ruin it. And so the lady was astounded. She goes, well, wow, that's a pretty good analogy. And she goes, well, one more thing. How do you know when the silver is pure and clean again? He said, well, that's easy, when I can see my reflection in it. Mm. So guess what, troops? When Yahweh can see a reflection of him and his values in you, then the fire goes away.
Amen.
All right? So we're in fire right now because we're dirty as hell.
Yep.
When we clean up our act, then Father will take the fire away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, any final thoughts, Henry? And then I'll get final thoughts from Mike.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, and it was nice meeting your new guest, Mike. That's your name, right, Mike?
Yes, it is.
Nice to meet you. And I just pulled up a quote from one of our great forefathers, and I'll just end with that, from Benjamin Franklin. Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of Yahweh and nature.
Amen. Very good. Thanks.
All right, man.
Yeah. Yahweh bless. Thanks for calling in, Henry. Take it easy.
You too.
All right. Mike, any final comments before we sign off for tonight?
I would just say glory to God, and I'm I'm very glad that you invited me to come on, and I pray that our Heavenly Father's will be done in all our lives, and I pray that His blessing be on all of us here today and all of our brothers and sisters in the world, and that this is, our characters are being forged out on the anvil of necessity and by the hammers of anguish as we go through these last days, and this full blooming of iniquity of the Lucifer rebellion on this world.
Yeah, amen to that. Also, Mike, I think I wanted to talk about this, and we just ran out of time, but maybe on another broadcast you can join me, and we'll talk a little bit about the community concept where we could all find land somewhere. Seek out people that we know that might have some large acreage available that we could all congregate on and start growing our own food, maybe run some cottage industry type businesses out of it, but land that's dedicated to the Father. Everything on that land will be done naturally, holistically, organically, etc.
Yes, that sounds wonderful. I would love to do that, Dan.
All right, very good. Well, then you can come on back, and we'll talk about that on the next one, all right?
That sounds terrific.
All right. Yahweh bless, buddy.
Thank you so much, you too, and to everyone listening.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that was Michael here in Florida and Henry up there in Connecticut. Just a wonderful chat, wonderful chat. It's where two or more are gathered in His name, He's there amongst them, and you can feel that spiritual connection. That's the wonderful thing. It's a powerful connection, folks, and don't ever forget, we are spiritual beings, all right? We've talked about that many times on the shows. The proofs of the fact that we're spiritual, the number of scientists now that have turned to intelligent design and recognizing the spiritual nature of our beings is increasing all the time. Darwinism's on its way out. This whole Jewish fable of how we got here and everything is being tossed into the trash can where it belongs. And I say hallelujah to that. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the awakening that's going on. We thank you for those ministries that are growing out there and abandoning the churchianity business world of conducting sermons and gatherings and praise and worship sessions. And they're going over to more of the way it was done in the old days, getting back to the seat of our pants, extemporaneous speaking rather than canned sermons sent out by some headquarters with a, quote, approved sermon. Political correctness is being tossed into the trash can where it belongs. And so there is an awakening, and we can feel the heat. You're turning up that Bunsen burner under us, and it's starting to scorch. You told us that the fires of judgment would scorch even His beloved children. However, it will not burn us up, because that would just be counterproductive. So as you're turning the heat up, we know the reason for it. And we just praise you again that for those of us who already know you and love you and follow your laws, this is just more proof of who you are and the fact that you do this out of loving kindness, because we've been bad. We've been disobedient, and we've allowed some very, very nasty things to go on under our purview, and it needs to be fixed. So again, we ask that you'd walk with us, guide us, counsel us with your Holy Spirit, give us good discernment to see through the fog of lies and misinformation out there. Help us always to be looking towards you. Never let go of your hand, because you're the only rock that we can count on in these days and in these times. And we always ask that you would protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.